WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
Hold on, cut the music there, Duke, if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to do something a little different today, folks. I'm going to take you to a telephone interview I did in 2001 with Ted Elm of WWJC in Duluth, Minnesota. I think this will be helpful on this topic of quitting church without quitting God. This is part one. I'll speak with you briefly after this first segment, and then I'll run part two for you tomorrow. Again, this is Ted Elm of WWJC in Duluth, Minnesota from 2001, and yours truly.
And welcome back to more of Northline Notebook on this Tuesday morning. Our next guest is Martin Zender, an accomplished essayist whose writings have appeared to critical acclaim in the Chicago Tribune, the Atlanta Journal, and other newspapers. He hosted a talk show in Cleveland, Ohio, and publishes a newsletter, and he is the author of the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Seven Reasons to Escape the Box. Martin Zender, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ted. Good morning.
Good to have you on the program. What was it that inspired the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God?
The fact that I think there's a lot of people in the world and in the country who think that you have to, quote, go to church. And, you know, spiritual abuse comes in a lot of different ways. And I think that there's spiritual people in this world who have a real relationship with God, but they're abused, in a sense, by those in the church saying that you can't have a relationship with God unless you're a member of an organized church or the institution. And so my book aims to tell these people that not only can you have a spiritual relationship with God outside of the box or the institution, but that Scripture encourages that. There's scriptural precedent for a freelance walk.
There are quite often people will point to a verse in the Bible, if you don't go to churches, that you are forsaking the assembly. How does,
right.
How does that verse fit into what you're saying?
There's so much, Ted, you know, that's read into that verse. That verse is very, it doesn't say a lot. It just says, do not forsake the assembling.
Right.
Hebrews 10:25 you're talking about there. But it doesn't say how often. It doesn't say who you're supposed to get together with. It doesn't say when, where, or how. So there's a lot of leeway in that verse. And again, what's read into it, and that verse is used as an anvil over people's heads so much, and it's really misused because, again, all these details are lacking. To me, that verse does not preclude you gathering with friends or with three people in the Walmart parking lot, at a Bible study, what have you. It doesn't have to be in, quote, the institution.
But what keeps these people safe, then, from maybe coloring outside the lines with a couple of people getting together and they have no real covering to watch over them? What keeps them inside the box?
Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ. I think they're safer outside the institution than in.
Why would you say that?
Because to me, there's so much hypocrisy in the institution. I think people learn the wrong things about God there. For instance, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was taught that, you know, Jesus Christ lived in a little gold box behind the altar. And God was so vindictive and wrathful, and I didn't hear much of his grace. So I think that people have a better chance of getting a picture of the true God outside of the box. But your concern is legitimate. And I think the answer to that, by saying that we're going to have people leaving the institution, and we do see this, people leaving the institutions,
right.
By that, I'm not saying or suggesting that they don't have a head. I'm saying Jesus Christ is still their head, and their source of information becomes the sacred scriptures and the Spirit of God. And I think you'll agree with me that those two things can exist and indeed thrive outside of the institutions.
And on Judgment Day, I guess it won't matter a whole lot as far as to how often you went to church, I guess.
Well, that's exactly
down,
right. And it's Jesus Christ in the heart.
Have you found a spiritual trend in America away from the institutional church and maybe toward a more free form of worship?
Yes, I have. I've researched this subject in the newspapers, and there's articles. The Washington Times recently had an article, and it is a phenomenon that even the liberal press is noticing. People are leaving the institutions. Now, the church is panicking. I mean, the organized Christian church, they think this is a bad thing, and I think they're assuming it's a bad thing, and in some cases it is. I realize people are jumping into the New Age movement, but I think that especially following 9/11, we see a longing for answers. People are looking for real comfort. And to be honest with you, I don't think they're finding it now in the institution. I mean, the institution can offer you a hug and a donut, but when it comes to answering those tough questions, you're not even Billy Graham. Could answer why there is evil, what happens to these people. He stood in front of you at a national forum, said here was a perfect opportunity. People look to our, quote, man of God, and he could not answer the most fundamental questions human beings have, namely, why is there evil? Those are the things people are looking for now, and they're not getting them in the institution.
So how does stepping outside of the institution help in that area, help give maybe a clearer understanding of what you're talking about, if it can?
Right. Well, I think the first thing there is that you're escaping from the rut. I mean, every denomination, there's none that escape this, has a spiritual rut. They have a certain way that you have to believe or are encouraged to believe, and every denomination is different. So I think the first positive thing that happens is you're withdrawn from the influence of men, from the traditional teachings. Mm-hmm. And just like in the days of the Pharisees, Ted, you know, we have a lot of institutions that love the traditions more than the truth. So I think that influence is removed when someone leaves a particular institution, and now they can think for themselves. A lot of people don't do that, and I think when they get out on their own, they're more apt to think for themselves. And again, I'm not saying we empty their minds. I'm saying that now is the time that God can speak, and they can read the scriptures on their own and learn more about the true God.
Why should anyone listen to Martin Zender about how to quit church without quitting God?
Because I'm just like them. I'm an ordinary guy. I have been in an institution. I have suffered under an institution. I've had false ideas all my life. I have felt the guilt of sin. I have been in, I have felt the guilt of, you know, worrying if my next sin was going to eliminate me from God's love. And so I'm a seeker. You know, I'm not in this book. The one thing that separates this book from the others is I'm not on some ecclesiastical high horse telling people how it ought to be. I'm a fellow seeker.
Okay.
I'm a fellow believer in love with Jesus Christ, and I want to know more about him. I'm in the same boat with my readers. I think that's the appeal of this book.
So you're not an atheist or some New Ager. You actually believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Yeah, and that's why it was really hard, you know, coming up with the title for this book, because I wanted to say that I think the institution is definitely found lacking, but I didn't want to give a false presentation of myself, like I don't believe in God or I'm some kind of atheist. So how to quit church without quoting God. I do believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. I just don't belong to the club that claims to own the franchise on him.
Well, what is it about the club that owns the franchise on him that bugs you so much that you would write a book about it?
Well, I think every religious organization claims that this is it. We have the answers. And I don't think the Christian religion itself is exempt from this. It's so easy for us to point the fingers at, especially the Islam religion, and certainly the Catholics are taking it on the chin now. But every religion has one thing in common. They present their ideas of how man can attain to the love of God. I mean, what's the difference, Ted? You know, if we have to face Mecca three times a day, or we have to behave in a certain way or believe in a certain way in order to earn God's favor. To me, the gospel is that God, through his Son, has taken care of the sin of the world. Sin is no longer a stumbling block towards salvation.
There is concern by organized religion that people like you and the information you're giving here in this book is that it's going to fall in the hands of people within their congregation that maybe just don't have a sound enough understanding about what Christianity is all about, and they will fall away from the faith. Are you concerned about these individuals?
Well, you know, I heard part of your previous interview with the other guest, and they said the same thing about the homeschool movement.
Right.
You know, they say, we take kids out of the institution, all of a sudden we're going to toss them on waves of ignorance, and they're going to be terrible citizens, they're not going to be socialized and things, and I think we're talking about the same fear here, that if we take them out of the institution, all of a sudden they're going to turn into godless people. But, you know, it's the same thing, I think, when the Apostle Paul came on the scene and started teaching grace.
Yeah.
He started to teach that we were rescued from sin and death apart from the law of Moses. And I guarantee it, people were saying the same thing to him. Paul, you can't take people away from the law. This is what's keeping them good. This is what's keeping them pure. If we throw them onto grace, no telling what might happen. But, Ted, I believe grace is a power that is able to keep people. And I think to say that, to suggest that we can't do that apart from the institution is just what the Pharisees wanted. It's just what the Catholic Church wanted in the Middle Ages. They wanted people to be afraid that if they left them, they were lost.
My,
it's that power.
My guess,
it's a power that you can't reach God apart from us.
My guest for this segment is Martin Zender. He's an accomplished essayist whose writings have appeared to critical acclaim in the Chicago Tribune, the Atlanta Journal, other newspapers. He has hosted a talk show in Cleveland, Ohio, and publishes a newsletter. And he is the author of the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Seven Reasons to Escape the Box. You say something in your book that I think many evangelical Christians find hard to believe. Maybe they haven't even thought about it, but you say that Jesus was not a Christian. Is there what do you mean by that, and is there a better way of making that the statement or stating your case?
Well, it probably could stand some explanation. You know, when Jesus was walking the earth, he was against the organized religion of the day. Everybody knows that. The spirituality was happening then by the Sea of Galilee, up in the mountains. It was a very freelance walk. Very soon after that, Christianity degenerated, or what was called the Christian faith. It degenerated into a system. And I believe this happened around 312 AD. That's when Constantine, Emperor of Rome, made, quote, Christianity the official religion of the empire. And I really do think that if Jesus Christ returned today, this is what we need to ask ourselves. Would he join the system? Would he join what has become, what I feel, another religion? And I think, I will say this, and this is a bold thing to say, and I know it's going to be a controversial statement, but I believe that Christianity has become an official religion, just another religion, and it has become separate from what Jesus himself had in mind.
Would you be so bold to say that it's a cult in some cases?
Yes. In fact, I make that case in my book, that the Christian religion does, as a religion now, as an organization, it has all the earmarks of a cult, and I take it very objectively. You know, Bob Larson has a book, The New Book of Cults. Of course, Bob Larson being the self-proclaimed expert on cult activity, but in his book, he has a list of 19 points that make up a cult. And very objectively now, and it's open for all to see, I apply every one of these points to Christianity as a religion, and the results are stunning. That's chapter 6.
Now, well, what does a person do with that then?
I think they really have to stand back and take a look and say and see if they themselves have fallen into a rut, if their denomination has pushed them to the point where truth could walk in the door and they would not notice it. I think, Ted, that truth, let's just say Jesus, I think that Jesus Christ could walk anonymously into a church today and not be recognized.
Right.
If he could teach on the accomplishments of the cross, and if his teachings clashed with the traditions of the church, then once again history would repeat itself. He would be asked to leave. It would be cleaner maybe than it was in the first century, but it would be just the same. He'd be asked to leave. And I think that if truth left some of the institutions, nobody would notice.
Yeah.
Because there is so much that can carry on without the truth. There's the ceremonies, there's the music, there's the outward trappings, the nice carpet, the incense, all these things that can keep people thinking this is spiritual, but really, a lot of it is fleshly.
Wow, that stuff makes perfect sense to me. I can't wait to hear what this Zender guy has to say tomorrow. Part 2 tomorrow, folks. In the meantime, believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.